Hey, you're listening to the Geeks for the Win podcast with your host William, aka PoetXO44, and his co-host Stuart, known across the internet as Casual Tater, and maybe even a special guest or two. They will insult your geeky fascination with movies, TV shows, video games, and comic books, anything and everything considered geek. And now over to William.
And welcome to another episode of the Geeks for the Win podcast, the podcast where we just basically cover all things geeky. Today we are recording on July 8th, and it is around 8:20 Central Standard, and I am William, known as PoetXO44 throughout the internet, and I am joined with my co-host Stuart,
also known across the internet as Casual Terror,
and a special guest, Matt.
Also known throughout the internet as Patriot 1030 from also Open Forum Radio.
Alrighty, now that we got that out of the way, this is part two of our Dexter talk, which we had Matt on to discuss seasons 1 through 3, and now we're finally discussing season 4 after like 10 odd episodes in between.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate you guys waiting to discuss that. I got a yo-ho-ho copy of Dexter Season 4 from a friend, and plowed through that in about less than a week. So I'm happy to be back and talking about it, and thanks for not talking about and ruining it before.
Oh, no problem.
It was hard.
You know, yeah, it was, but we had you on before, so we wanted to have, we wanted to save, you know, Season 4 for when you could talk about it, so.
Well, I greatly appreciate it.
With that said, I guess we can get into it. Basically, I guess we could start from the beginning and work our way through the season. That sounds good with y'all.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Stuart, do you want to go first? I know you've been super excited about this.
I just want to talk about the ending. That's my thing.
Okay. Okay, well,
I mentioned something in one of our latest episodes. I think it was two episodes ago or so. When I started watching, I thought it was really well done the way that they started out season. You know, him being the father and him having a newborn, and having that whole life changing responsibility, and how, yes, they did the regular intro, but then in the middle of the episode they did the intro again, except with a newborn style.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Yes, I like that.
Like he puts on his shirt and he knows there's a stain and he has to take it off again.
Yeah, and he missed the mosquito, you know. just his entire routine completely, you know, obliterated.
Which, that was a big thing at the beginning, you know. He was just worn out. He was living off of energy drinks, and whenever he would come home and fall asleep, the baby would cry and he'd have to get up.
Yeah, and, you know, they kind of, it seemed like they were almost beating that to death, of any time anyone would close their eyes or there was a moment of quiet, you know, the baby would cry. But, you know, I guess that, you know, you fathers out there, you can attest to that better than, you know, than I can. So, if that is actually the case or not. But, it was a nice theme to have that throughout the entire season.
Yeah, I especially love the part when Rita wanted to have sex and he was just like, do I really have to? He was like, sleep, and she's like, no, not sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, I thought I heard Stu going.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Just how he was, you know, at every moment, anytime he started to kind of doze off, he'd crack some smelling salts and, you know, you know, try to get some energy, kind of hop around a little bit. it was that boxer before he made him part of his routine or added him to the slide collection.
Which I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was a big thing, you know, when he killed that former boxer and he basically got into a car wreck.
Oh yes,
that was crazy, because he couldn't figure out where he had put the body.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, you know, they didn't show. It was good edit. I mean, it was a good storytelling element, and, you know, a good kind of plot device in him using the crash to completely him crashing, him being so absolutely overtired. You know, that he doesn't know where the body is, you know, but then it's kind of, you know, they kind of alluded it back to the fact that he's going, you know, he's going, he followed the code that, you know, that's the one thing he could count on, that wouldn't let him down, that he had to trust that. And, you know, in the end it did, but that entire episode, while you can look back on it now, it seems like a filler episode. It's one that really kind of had to be told to really develop Dexter's mental character and, you know, just how what he really relies upon with the code too. So
yeah. And it also shows, you know, he's starting to, you know, I guess evolve from the psychopath he claims to be, you know, to actually having feelings, when, you know, because he got in the wreck because he was getting medicine for his kid.
Right.
And, you know, he was hurrying the kill and shove the body somewhere, and, you know, was trying to drive to get the medicine for his kid Harrison. So
right.
I mean, I thought that was, you know, we're starting to see a lot more emotions with Dexter. I really didn't like that.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And how Harry told him, you know, growing up, you are just like, no, you're a monster. You're not going to be able to have a normal life. And, you know, in developing these relationships and kind of just continuously being exposed to it, he's become so much more human, and he's become a person. And I do like the way that they took that.
Yeah, I agree. And I love the way they showed where, you know, when he finally realized where the body was, the blinding light, because
yeah.
you saw that a couple times throughout the episode.
Right.
I thought that was pretty unique the way they filmed that. But I guess we could, you know, do we just want to get into, I guess we can, yeah. Shortly, you know, around this time, we see a return of Frank Lundy. FBI agent, or special agent Frank Lundy. There we go. Did y'all think when y'all saw him?
Because he's retired by this point.
Okay, former special agent Frank
Lundy. There you go, you got it.
What did y'all think when you saw him, like, for the first time? I mean, come back. I was amazed.
Go ahead, Stuart.
I kind of liked his character from the previous seasons. Season 2?
Yeah.
Is that right? I know it's been a while. I liked his character, so I was kind of happy to see him back, and I was kind of wondering how Deborah would take it, and her string of curse words. That was very Deborah.
Hello, Deborah.
Motherfucking fuck.
Nice to see you too.
Yeah, same old mouth. What did you think, Matt?
Oh, well, I loved Lundy. I thought he was a great nemesis in, you know, as far as the chess match was going in season 2, and how, yeah, that was kind of, it was a cheap death of, oh gosh, why am I forgetting his name? The other cop, the black cop. Anyway, I really enjoy seeing Lundy. I thought the actor did a great job portraying the character. He was well written. I liked seeing that kind of dynamic that he had with Deborah. But bringing him back, I was really happy they did. And where his story ends, I was just really disappointed. And I could see it happening. I can understand how and why it was going to happen. But it was heartbreaking because he had become such a favorite character of mine. And when I first saw him in this season, I was thinking that he was actually coming back for Dexter, just the way that he entered the room and how he was kind of really all he was very quiet and you know, just kind of observant and taking everything in that what Dexter was doing. You could see Dexter get rattled real easy. He's like, "Oh wow, Lundy, hey, I thought I was done with you," you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was always a favorite character of mine. So
yeah, I just gotta agree with what y'all have said. Basically, I mean, Lundy was a great character. I mean, and you always thought he was gonna, you know, it always seemed like he was just a step away from catching Dexter, and that
yes.
It was so suspenseful. And but yeah, it really did shake Deborah up too. I mean,
yeah, because she was still going with Anton at that point.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just hilarious the way she was acting, because she would just blurt shit out like the first time they meet, you know, he's like, "I'll see you, I guess I'll see you later," and she's like, "Yeah, sure, maybe I don't know, I don't know," you know, just You could just tell she was just, you know, nervous and felt awkward. And I don't know. I thought that was very interesting because I don't, Deborah's doesn't really seem too nervous a lot of the time.
No, she doesn't. Only when she, you know, when she's almost like really excited about something and wants to get, she's more anxious as opposed to nervous. She just doesn't like uncertainty, and that's kind of what I've gotten from her character.
Yeah, and then she decides she wants Lundy back, and I'm sorry, that's just gross thinking about that. The age difference is just, God.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for Deborah at the end of season two because, you know, yeah, he's going to, I think it was Oregon, to catch some, to, you know, find another one. And, you know, he was always kind of out there, you know, tilting at windmills, you know, kind of trying to catch the next bad guy. And that was his life. And, you know, it almost felt like he entered into, their relationship knowing that he was going to leave at some point. And she never really got that. That's kind of what I picked up. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the age thing. I have a friend who was also watching Dexter at the same time we were. And, you know, I made the same comment to her saying, like, the age difference between them, just, ugh. And she's that type of girl who watches a lot of those chick flicks. So she wasn't bothered by it. So apparently it's in a lot of chick flicks. So it's not that uncommon in movies and TV shows.
Well, especially when you got like Twilight or whatever, where the vampires are hundreds of years old. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
I'd go with True Blood better.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, True Blood, I don't consider that too much of a chick flick type show, though.
No, but you know, you had the vampire comment, and I would rather go with True Blood, because I think True Blood is Twilight ripped off True Blood, the books.
Oh yeah, definitely. You can definitely tell that, but that's not this topic.
Back to Dexter.
Yeah. Back to Dexter. No, back to Lundy. Well, right when they get done, you know, doing it or whatever. However you want to say, I don't know. I don't know how to say that.
Reestablishing the relationship.
Exactly. There we go. They walk out in the parking lot and bang, 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 you know, shots are fired. And, you know, I find that interesting the way it showed, you know, Deborah went down first. And then the way it just went kind of like first person where you just saw Lundy fall and you just, that look on his face was just, I don't know, that just creeped me out.
Yeah.
And the way his hair was just all, oh, that just creeped me out.
Yeah, it was really well acted. I mean, you know, you got to give credit to everyone involved in doing that, doing that scene. That was just well done all around. But I was kind of like, at first I was scared. I'm like, because if the killer has any sense, you know, if the gun person at the time when you see it has any sense, you would think both of them are going to die. And I'm like, no, please, not Deborah. That's what I thought. I was like, just please, not both of them. And so that was my big concern, that I was going to lose Deborah.
Yeah. Oh, and look at me. I skipped ahead a bit. We didn't even mention why Lundy was back.
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was retired and he was searching out the code name, the Trinity Killer, which I guess the FBI thought, you know, that wasn't that, you know, that Lundy was just crazy for thinking that or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see the murders, we've seen the murders throughout the few episodes before, you know, or around Lundy's death. And then, you know, so you know who the Trinity, we know who he is. And
yeah, from the first kill, we knew who he was.
Exactly. And, I mean, you know, that scene where Arthur, you know, a.k.a. the Trinity Killer, and Lundy, you know, bump into each other, and, you know, Lundy, he figures it out. You know, he basically kind of figures out who that he might be the Trinity Killer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He says on his record, or his digital recorder, or tape recorder, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Lundy's old school. But, he, you know, he basically describes Arthur's features and even the bus he got on. So at that time, you know, we think Trinity killed him.
Right. And then, yeah, then there's that whole twist. But I found it funny. You know, well, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, so.
So we should mention that the Trinity Killer is John Lithgow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Which when I first saw him, my first thought was, it's George Henderson! Because I loved Harry and the Hendersons. I watched that movie all the time when I was little.
Oh, I used to watch Third Rock from the Sun all the time, so.
Yes.
I just saw him, you know, and as that role, and the man plays creepy very well.
That he does.
I was surprised. And he's up for some Emmys, too, because of it.
Oh, I certainly hope so.
Well,
I think the
well-deserved.
Yes, I completely agree. When you see him, when Dexter follows him back to his home, that's when I was kind of like, wow, this guy just turned it on. He turned crazy on and off like that. You know, that's something I've really never seen in any kind of television show. I mean, usually, and then, you know, and then as you get to see him in his environment, he doesn't really hide it well or anything. He's just kind of a brute. And then you realize, yeah, he is insane, except no one's doing anything about it. But that initial shock of, you know, him being absolutely, for lack of a better term, batshit loco, you know, to then being, oh, yeah, family man, preacher, you know, teacher.
Well, yeah, Dexter Steve was shocked. He said, he's like me, you know,
yeah,
he's got a family. So I thought that was pretty crazy when he tracked it down.
And what I think surprised, well, what surprised me most, and I guess, yeah, it did eventually lead to his downfall, was the fact that he would spread ashes or lick his finger and then, you know, mark each crime scene using his sister's ashes. And to me, I'm kind of like, well, okay, I can understand then how it could be overlooked because it was just a smudge, especially after they show the jumper. You know, it's dirt. There's dirt all around. You're not going to, you know, take every little, you know, area for dirt to see if there's DNA in it. It's not really all that practical. But, as a serial killer, as we've seen in a successful serial killer with Dexter, his only trophy is something much more personal, and it is blood. And you can't really – and what he does with the bodies, too, you're not finding them.
I mean, well, you're not finding them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. True.
Season 2 showed us.
He just does a better job, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that just shows how arrogant, you know, or basically how cocky Arthur was. Because, I mean, when he killed that guy at the hotel, he kicked his foot to point, or he kicked his the guy's hand to point towards the ashes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Dexter, when he got to the crime scene, he could see, you know, what he was, you know, what he was doing to it. So why he did it.
Yeah, because he was watching it on the security camera. He watched the murder happen.
Yeah. And he wanted to keep it for himself, but then Masuka came and he was like, evidence hog.
Yeah. I think, Masuka was great this season. He always adds, it's almost like you can't get enough.
Well, no, you can't.
Definitely.
But I wouldn't actually call Lithgow a good killer, like a smart killer. He was just crazy, and what made him crazy just happened to be completely different every time. You know, it added to his insanity, being kind of, you know, being abused, you know, physically and sexually as a child. Then going to, and then seeing his sister drown, or excuse me, his sister get her leg cut open and bleed out, and then his mother's suicide, and then him killing his father. I mean, the way that they all died was completely, there was no pattern unless you looked at the big picture. So to call him a smart killer, I wouldn't go that far. I'd say lucky.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very lucky. Because you're right, he's, you know, crazy. I mean, there's no way to get around that. He's, you know, totally kooky, you know, just crazy.
But what helped with his luck was he kept moving around to different cities.
Yeah,
and because he kept moving around, like, you know, the police, you know, every police station does not talk to each other, so they didn't connect. Like, oh, there was the same kind of murder, you know, across the country.
Right.
You know, so it was not connected.
Yeah, that's true. I want to take a break from the Lundy or from the whole Trinity thing and ask y'all what y'all thought of the office romance.
Huh. Good question. Go ahead, Stu.
Talking about the one between Angel and LaGuardia?
Yes.
I thought it was a long time in the making. Like, I was not surprised by it at all.
Really? I was shocked by that.
I wasn't. Like, looking back at even season one, like, I could kind of see it.
I wouldn't necessarily, I think, I'm trying to pull up that Black Ops name, I'm sorry.
Doakes?
Doakes, thank you very much. You know, I could see LaGuardia and Doakes having had a relationship, and they kind of hinted at that a little bit. But, you know, I really didn't see Angel and LaGuardia really kind of getting that, you know, getting to that point in a relationship, just because, well, when we last left Angel, he was starting to have a blossoming relationship with that vice detective, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I didn't really see that happening. I kind of saw LaGuardia seemed more like just bad luck. She had her friend. She had her friend who the DA ended up killing in the defense attorney. She lost Doakes, her longtime partner,
aka the Bay Harbor Butcher, according to them.
Yeah, supposedly the Bay Harbor Butcher. Yeah. It just didn't seem to me. It almost seems forced and more of like a convenient plot addition as opposed to. As opposed to anything really being a meaningful relationship that then ended up in marriage.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it seemed forced because that lasted a lot. That lasted throughout the whole season, basically.
Yeah, and you could kind of see where the chief was going. It almost seemed like, the assistant chief, when he kind of he showed his hand and saying, "Now I don't want any high school crap." And I'm kind of like, "Well, yeah, that's what you're gonna do when you have an office romance. That happens." I don't know. That just didn't see it. It seemed forced. It seemed almost like a waste of time. I'm kind of like, but granted, you have only so many characters, and I don't know if they're trying to save something with Masuka or not, but maybe there's just not a lot there, you know, to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, he does kind of play that plucky, you know, maybe overcompensating, office nerd. So.
Yeah. That we all love.
Right. Yes. Exactly. That we all can't seem to get enough of.
Alrighty. But yeah, I guess, yeah, with that, I just realized, you know, that's been going on throughout the season, you know, what we've been talking about so far. That was just one of the side things that they kept basically beating you over the head with.
Yeah.
But we can get back to the whole Trinity.
Oh, I had a question.
Oh, go ahead.
What do you guys think of Quinn? I mean, you start to see, you do see early in the season that he's, you know, he is a bit of a dirty cop, and you know they kind of show that. You know, I know he's kind of the replacement, the tough guy replacement for Doakes, but what do you think they're going to go with his, you know, his relationships or you know his character, I should say.
Stuart, you want to go first on this?
I did not like Quinn. I really did not like Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
And he just seems like the asshole type. He was always on Dexter's case. He was kind of be picking on Dexter a little bit, like trying to get Dexter for something wrong.
Yeah.
And I think where they're going to go with it is like he might catch Dexter. I don't know. Like he might find out Dexter's secret. I hope not, but that's kind of where they're going with it.
Become the next Doakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you go ahead. I want to, then I'll respond to Stu's point.
Oh, I didn't like him either at the beginning, you know, because he just seemed like a dick. I mean, mm-hmm. he was, just, like Stuart said, he was just, you know, horrible to Dexter and, I mean, but then, you know, it seemed like he started softening up throughout this season, you know, that the relationship with the reporter, what was her name? Christina or
yes.
Something? Yeah.
Yes.
The relationship with Christine really seemed to, you know, soften him up and make him more of a likable character. Not a favorite character, but more tolerable, I would say. At least for me.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I think it'll be a real damn shame if Quinn ends up busting Dexter, because Quinn's not that smart.
No.
I mean, he's a good cop, but he's just not that smart. So that would be a real disappointment. I mean, Doakes was at least smart. And, you know, yeah, he paid the price for it. Well, someone else paid the price, you know, gave him, fed him up to it. So, you know, or, you know, made him pay. But, you know, it's just, I don't mind Quinn. It almost seems like he's out of his element because he kind of sounds more like he almost seems like something out of The Departed as opposed to Dexter, you know, as opposed to, you know, Miami Beach.
Yeah.
And well, if Quinn ever does catch Dexter, it will be because Dexter made a mistake.
Yeah, and I don't think that'll happen. Yeah.
Yeah, and Quinn's best ideas were from playing a game of charades with Deborah. I'm glad y'all remember that because I heard silence for a second. I'm like, oh yeah.
I wouldn't. You know, I almost hope they don't force something like. I hope they don't force a Deborah Quinn esque relationship in the next season. I really hope not. I mean, yeah, every season seems to have their own. People seem to have their own relationships, but
relationship together or
yes.
Oh, I don't.
I kind of saw that before because like I said, it's been a long time. Quinn was in season 3, right?
I don't.
Quinn was in season 3. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's I kind of was thinking that's where they were going to go with Quinn. Was he was going to hook up with Deborah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just couldn't see that. They seemed so much alike, those two. I think, you know, they seemed too similar to be together, if that makes any sense. I mean,
right.
I think their attitudes would clash with each other.
Yeah, I see what I can see what you're saying.
But anyways, any more romances that I'm while we're talking about romances? I don't know, but where do we leave off? Trinity. I thought it was interesting how Dexter was, you know, he was basically using Arthur to, you know, learn how to deal with stuff, you know, how to juggle a family and the you know, basically learning how to juggle the family and having time for his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Under the fake name of Kyle Butler.
Right.
Yes. And,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, kind of how as we get into that, we find out that Dexter should not be applying Arthur's take on it.
Oh, no, he realizes that. He's just, I think Dexter knows going forward. Granted, I don't know where they're going to go forward with this, considering the ending. But, you know, if things had not ended the way they were, Dexter would have been, he would have trusted his own familial instincts and kind of, you know, and been a good father. He would have kind of looked to Harry, you know, not just for the code, but as a family, especially between, and then he probably would have relied a lot on Deborah too.
Yeah. Well, I was more talking about how Arthur treated his family.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh God. I can't, disgusting. I can't believe that they put up with that.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe that either. I mean, you got this 60-year-old man who's supposedly beating up his, you know, teenage son who looks like, you know, he could be playing football.
Yeah.
It's like, really? I thought it was funny when he was like, I'm running out of cliches, like I ran into the door or fell downstairs. I'm like, really?
Yeah, and then when he said, you know, at Thanksgiving, it's like, oh yeah, my son, the klutz. I'm kind of like, oh, just kill him right there. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to say shit.
Well, he almost does.
Yeah, he almost did.
Oh, man, I really would have loved that. I'm like, let him do it, do it.
And then, but his family was all like, no, leave him alone. And I'm like,
why?
Really?
Patty Hearst syndrome.
But, what else? I find it interesting when, you know, we're just seeing how Dexter or, you know, Dexter pretend to be Kyle Butler and Arthur are, you know, their whole little trip to, you know, and their little trip to, where was it? I don't know, but where, you know, Dexter pretended to go to the weather convention so he could supposedly kill Arthur then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Arthur was going to a build site or whatever, and I thought it was interesting how he was going to kill himself.
which I'm still confused on why Dexter stopped him.
Well, he did. He was going to let him go because he kind of he grabbed a hold of him, and then
he realized I could kill him like this.
Yeah, he's like, oh, okay, I can make it look like he jumped, and
he did jump. Why did
he
grab him?
To save him, and he even said, "I want him to die with my hand, by my hand,
right.
So I could let him go, and that'll be because of me."
Right, and then his groupies came along and are like, "Oh my God, you're a hero!"
Yeah. Which, you know, that was definitely interesting. I mean, just that whole trip too. Like when Arthur goes into his house with the Asian couple.
Yeah, that was really. Yeah. I'm like, wow, okay, yeah. How about not raise more attention to yourself? And then when he had the family, he invaded that, you know, that poor family at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, wow, okay.
Oh yeah.
That was interesting. I definitely enjoyed that. That was funny, but
yeah, that was when you really knew Arthur's not right in the head.
Yeah,
well, definitely. Let's see. Well, I get, you know, we mentioned it, the whole the charades. You know, Deborah, she couldn't be on the case because they thought Trinity, you know, shot her, so she was, you know, a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the whole roadblocks, you know, the testing for the DNAs and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, basically, you know, that was a pretty, you know, I was wondering what was going to happen when they were, you know, they were in line for the roadblocks. Dexter was trying to be like, yeah, they're trying to get that serial killer, the blah, blah, you know, he was basically trying to warn Arthur.
Well, yeah, and he did it for selfish reasons, too. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, but what was after that? Then we find out that, you know, it wasn't Arthur who shot them.
Right.
Yeah.
It was somebody Masuka size.
Yeah, and then I'm kind of thinking like, okay, who's Masuka size? Aside from Masuka, because why would he do that?
Yeah, he definitely would do that.
Yeah, that was the thing. You were thinking, who the hell could it be?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's funny because it's so well written. You really kind of – you still focus on the main characters, yet every time it's always somebody so close. You know, you've seen them before. You see them in the first or second episode. You know, so then they end up doing something or, you know, ending up playing a major plot or, you know, contributing majorly to the plot, like Christine, the tree trimmer from season 3.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of crappy, in all honesty.
Yeah.
That kind of felt really kind of, as I say it out loud, it sounds like, wow, that was like, I feel like Scooby-Doo. in the second season, yeah, you know it's Dexter going around, but and it's more of that kind of cat and mouse game, but just to and even in the first season with Brian, you know that it's like, well, you know, you're gonna know who's someone's playing a major plot, contributing to the plot down the road. You just have to see how all the puzzle pieces fit together. So.
Yeah, and you just remind me of something else. The this whole time, Deborah's, you know, she's still looking at her father's what are they called?
Case files.
Yeah, are they CI or?
Yeah, CIs.
CIs, yeah. The CIs that, you know, because, you know, Dexter's, you know, he said Terry wasn't perfect, you know, he and stuff like that. So she was trying to investigate to. You know, I guess she was trying to either clear her father's name or just get some closure and figure out what was happening. And, you know, you saw her give the file of Laura Moser back to Dexter, and he's all, and, you know, that was the moment when you were like, wow, she got so close.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved when he was destroying it, and then he was shredding the picture, and he was like, no, I can't let her get, you know, shred to pieces again, or cut up to pieces, or whatever.
Yeah, he saved the picture.
Yeah, that really showed emotion right there for Dexter.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I, you know, it's funny that he never Well, Deborah, you know, yeah, she made the connection between the Moser family and Brian, and she's like, yeah, Dexter, you're okay, though. It's okay. You know, I mean, it's kind of, I'm kind of like, oh, poor Deborah. You know, but I'm like, you know what? You don't need to know. It's like, I'm like, yeah, here, cuff me. Oh, you don't want, it's like, oh, no, hug instead of cuff. You know, yeah, it's okay. But, yeah, it's, you know, I'm really happy that she can see that, you know, oh, she has Dexter to fall back on and everything. And, yeah, it's good that she doesn't even think or will ever suspect Dexter of being a serial killer then.
Yeah. What else? Oh, I guess, you know, we mentioned Thanksgiving at Arthur's house. We didn't mention Thanksgiving at Dexter's house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the whole, you know, whatever that dude's name was, the neighbor kissing, you know, Rita.
Yeah.
That and was Masuka seeing it.
Yeah, I liked his line when he came into the house and his little dialogue there between him and Deborah saying, you know, it's like, it's chocolatey goodness on the inside, you know, kind of a river of chocolate love.
And she's like, you can make anything sound perverted. He's like, it's a gift. No, I love when he starts to talk to, what's her name? The little girl.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, my mom says I'm not supposed to talk to you.
Aster.
Aster. Aster, there we go.
And the neighbor's name is Elliot.
Elliot, yeah.
Yes.
Which, you know, when Rita tells Dexter about it, he's like, okay.
Yeah, he's like, I have better things to worry about. This is not one of them.
Exactly. And, you know, I just found it funny when he came home that one day and just, you know, beat the crap out of Elliot.
Yeah,
which is what he should have done.
Yeah,
exactly.
He was
kind of like, oh, okay, now I can show an emotion and and get some, you know, physical release out.
And Rita was there waiting for him, you know.
Yeah,
you're not. I thought that was funny. She wasn't mad. She was like expecting that the whole time.
Oh yeah, I didn't. It's funny how he's kind of let his emotions out when there was that with the whole neighborhood watch thing and the lights. Yeah, and then she sees him punch him. I mean, she sees, like, she has this image of, you know, and then ending up bailing him out of prison, you know, out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, it seems like she thinks she's dating someone exactly like her ex-husband. And it's, like, completely, you know, it's sad to see that she's completely wrong on that.
Yes, so. Completely wrong in the worst way.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that Dexter actually says that after she bails him out. He says, you know, oh, you got to pick up another husband from jail, and he's on his knees at her feet, and she's saying like, no, you're not like him at all because you can be better.
Well, yeah, she's like, well, we need you. You know, you make this family work.
Yes, we didn't need what this says.
I don't know what his name is.
Not even worth it anymore.
Yeah. But, where... What to talk about? I lost my train of thought.
Okay.
I guess, do we want to... Yeah, I guess we can talk about when they found out who the shooter actually was, or they had a suspicion, you know. Suspicion. Deborah had a suspicion about... Mm-hmm. And basically, Christine fucked up.
Yeah,
she was trying to be all nice and, you know, she was trying to be sympathetic and nice, and she fucked up.
And trying to help Daddy.
Yeah, but she basically, you know, revealed that, you know, she, you know, Deborah never told anybody about her, you know, seeing, you know, Lundy take her last breath and facing towards him and all that, and... Then everyone else pieces it together. You know, she was there 15 minutes after the call was made, and Angel was all like, yeah, she was fully makeup. There was no way she was going to the gym.
Yeah, especially because she was the first to arrive on there from, you know, basically, you know, the real suburbs of Miami, you know, if it's an hour away, so.
Yeah, and you know, around that time, I think a little before that, we find out she's Arthur's daughter, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which, that was a total
twist. Yeah, I was not expecting that one.
Yeah, it did seem a little convenient, but granted, you know, okay, I understand that, okay, they have 12 episodes to get through everything, you know, to tell this story arc, to get from point A to point B. I can, you know, take the deep breath and let them in, accept the fact that, okay, there's going to be convenient plot devices involved, so.
And turns out she was just as crazy as Daddy.
Yeah.
I mean, from the moment she was telling him, you know, I shot Lundy, you know, she was telling Arthur how she shot Lundy and none of the other children would do it. And, you know, that whole scene, you could just tell she was crazy.
Yeah. And then, you know, Arthur just casting her away like nothing.
Yeah, that was sick. That was really nuts, considering he was like, oh, especially considering what he did to his, you know, his other family. You know, locking his daughter and keeping her in that, you know, child-esque room and, you know, abusing his son. You know, God knows what he did to his wife.
Yeah, Christine should not have been so angry that Daddy did not love her. She got off easy then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, side note, the other daughter, I just love that part where she was like, she was up against Dexter and she was just like, take me with you. I can do stuff. I can, you know, you help me out. I can help you out. I can do stuff for you. And Dexter's all like, what? No. What? No. That was probably one of my favorite scenes of the whole season, was just because it was just hilarious. He's like, you're 15.
Yeah, he's like, no, what's wrong with you?
And then the mom shows up.
Oh, yeah, that's nuts. That
was and she was like, I don't care what you're doing, what you're going to do with her. Just don't tell Arthur. I'm like, shit, really?
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, tigers do eat their young.
But, yeah, just a quick side note there. I thought that was funny. But back towards the end of Dexter, or this season, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, Dexter's, you know, he was trying to kill Arthur, finally. And I thought it was funny how he actually had him, you know, he knocked him out with, you know, he injected him with the shit, and, you know, he had him in his van and all that, and, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, he had to, you know, deal with the guy who, I guess, found him from running into his car and destroying the rear view mirror.
Yeah, the side mirror. And I just thought, like, really? How'd you find him?
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, and I'm like, really? You're going to get all that jacked up over a stupid rear view mirror? I mean,
one,
seriously.
He was outside of his car when it happened, and Dexter was going fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
All right, I couldn't believe that those sheriffs would take that, you know, would be that big of jackasses to him. You know,
yeah.
I think there is that kind of professional courtesy that goes along with everything and saying, no, okay, here's my information, let's, you know, or whatever, you know, here's some money or whatnot, you know.
Yeah, Dexter even said, I will pay for the charges.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry about that. And he's like,
I was
really,
going to
like
a,
crime scene.
Quote, crime scene.
I'm like, fuck, I'm like, you're so full of shit. Like,
but he was at a bank, though. The guy even said, but you're at a bank. that didn't really help Dexter there.
Yeah, but you would just think that they would have that kind of professional courtesy and not be, you know, complete jackasses about it.
Yeah, and I do not blame Dexter at all when that guy said, oh, look, you're caught on video, whatever. I don't blame him for taking his camera and smashing it.
Yeah, neither do I.
Didn't they say he got, you know, he attacked the sheriff or
yeah.
something like that?
Yeah,
He didn't attack the sheriff. He just grabbed the camera from the dude and destroyed it.
Yeah.
I don't see that. I don't know. I didn't see him attack anybody, really.
Except that poor camera phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the poor cheap camera. Or cell phone camera from a flip phone. You're like, yeah, okay, that's really something then.
Yeah, that driver was an asshole.
Yeah, but then after, you know, we talked about Rita picking him up and all that, and what else?
The scene between Harry and him while they're in the jail cell, I thought that was very good. Because because Dexter was kind of realizing, like, you know what? I don't need your code. I've got Rita and the kids. I don't need the Dark Passenger anymore. Like, that was when you started to go, like, you know, after Arthur, I'm done. You know, I can't wait to go on the honeymoon with my wife, and he was looking forward to it.
Yeah, he was like, that'll start the whole, you know, a break from me and help me not kill anymore, I guess, or whatever.
Well, I mean, I think I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, it's kind of like accepting what he is more so than just excusing it, as opposed to and living by the code. Yes, he still has the code to go by and be a guide, but he doesn't feel the complete urge to, though he could if he wanted to. I mean, it is kind of learning his emotions, like, you know, like we had said before.
And then when he, on the way back to his car, he was, you know, telling Rita, you know, like sometimes I'm fine going along, and then just darkness creeps in. Mm-hmm. So he's starting to open up to Rita. And, you know, she was like saying, oh, you can overcome this. And he was, you know, like, yes, I can. You're right. And you're going to help me.
Yeah. But yeah, she was an outcast for him, or for the Dark Passenger, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess we can get to where, you know, that we talked about, you know, Arthur, you know, basically cast Christina out and was like, don't call me, I wish you were never born, and all that. And then she, you know, she wants to speak to Deborah.
Right.
Because
she had the daddy issues. Yeah, they both had that.
And, you know, they're talking, and, you know, she admits to shooting, and, you know, and she's like, can you forgive me? And Deborah was like, no. And then Christine pulls out the gun and kills herself. I did not see that. I did not see that at all.
No.
Well, when I saw, when he said, you know, I wish you were never born, you know, you're not my daughter, and he did that whole thing, you could see, you know, you could see the things start disconnecting in her brain. Like, that's it. I'm done. It's over.
Yeah, I thought she was going to turn in her dad, though. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, you know, you got to respect crazy, because crazy gets the job done most of the time. But, yeah, that was funny to see. I mean, it was good acting on her part, because, man, wow. I mean, it was really good to see, the kind of just be able to see her heartbreak, her mind break, all in one false swoop.
And yeah, and she just pulls that gun out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And wow.
I was like, don't kill Deborah, please. You know, like, you don't know what to expect from crazy, so.
Exactly. And I didn't expect that, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that, the I guess, you know, that really affected Quinn, you know, right there, because he had this whole relationship that I really don't know if that was real on Christine's part or not, if she really was developing those feelings, or if that was all a lie the entire time, just to,
yeah,
because she was talking about how she was getting on the inside when she was talking to her dad.
Right.
So they could be either way, really.
True.
Which makes things totally interesting, but, I guess, do y'all want to get towards the very end? Is there anything else we need to discuss about?
I'm trying to think of anything else that was going on.
Oh, Angel, you know, that whole, really, they got married, yeah.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
And Dexter walks in, signing the papers. And
he's like, what?
You may kiss the bride, and he's like, wait, what?
That's it? That's what you got me down here for?
I just love the fact that, you know, they got married and Dexter was the witness and he didn't even know what was happening till it was over. But, yeah, with that said, I guess we can get into when Dexter finally catches Arthur, you know?
Well, I want to make a quick comment about the about after Arthur wakes up and his money's gone and all that, and he goes back to his house. And he's, you know, taking everything he can sell.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, and the son made the comment that, you know, we've all been wondering the entire time, why don't they just leave?
Right.
Then a mom says, you know, like, you know, we'll be living in fear. We already do. So.
Yeah, they really didn't have anything to lose. They could have just left and, you know, left it all behind, and really no one would have cared.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought it was funny when, you know, Dexter came to the house when they were busting, you know.
Yeah, there was a raid on the house, yeah.
Yeah, And Dexter, I love the fact that Dexter hid in the coffin and then he conveniently had his ID, you know?
Yeah.
Good on it.
Yeah, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm already here. Hi, sorry, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, hide behind the garage or something, you know?
Yeah, I thought that was, and I thought it was the way they showed, you know, the family being, you know, taken by the police, and then, you know, you saw Rita and the kids, and, you know, you saw it flash to them.
Yeah.
And Dexter realized, you know, I don't want this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then it was also like, he was also struggling with, he doesn't want it to happen, but he also wouldn't do that. He wouldn't put him through that. You know, it's kind of like, it's almost kind of the pat on the back saying, I'm not this guy. I'm smarter than this, so.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess getting back to when Dexter finally catches Arthur.
Well, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
I was going to talk about what
Deborah talked to Dexter afterwards, after the raid on the house.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay.
Because Harry's CIs took Deborah to a house that, you know, she followed Harry to by one of his girlfriends, and it was, crap, I'm forgetting the name.
Moser?
Moser.
Laura
Moser's house, and, you know,
yeah.
Son ended up being, you know, one being to be the Asher killer, the other was named Dexter. Guess what?
Yeah, and Dexter's like, yeah, I didn't know. Wow.
Yeah, and I would say he played that well.
Yeah.
He played the Sabian surprise very well.
Yeah. I thought that was a good moment. And it's like you said before, you know, about Deborah. She's just thick-headed. She can't put those, you know, put two and two together, but...
Well, I think he's done a good job of covering everything up. You know, she doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, he just being around her and, you know, growing up with her, you know, they had that special, you know, they had that brother-sister relationship and, you know, they do love and care about each other. But I also think she does kind of see what she wants to see as well.
Yeah, and she all she has is Dexter at the moment. I mean,
yeah,
you know, she lost Anton, and then Lundy died, and you know,
her dad's dead.
Yeah, all she has is Dexter. So she I don't think she wants to believe that.
Yeah,
at all. And, would you?
Oh no.
Right. And what got me kind of surprised, I don't know if it is just because of the whole partner cop dynamic, but you know, when they were kind of after. She got on the case, and then it was Thanksgiving, and Christine came in and said, hey, you know, let's go have, you know, Thanksgiving at my house. And Christine said he wouldn't stop talking about you. I'm kind of like, oh boy, does this mean they're going to go down that path now? You know, where Quinn realizes that he might have feelings for Deborah. And mm-hmm. while, yeah, they are very much the same type of person being, you know, being cops, you know, good to a certain extent, you know, they each have their shortcomings, but you know, they're very much alike in that manner. So that I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of comes up next season.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Anything else before the big ending or around the big ending?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, Stuart, you've been waiting so long. You want to start with this?
Okay. Yeah, Dexter finally does catch Arthur, and they're having that scene where Arthur's tied up, and then Arthur's saying, like, you know, this is God's doing, you know, you think you're going to go to heaven. Dexter says, you know, I don't believe, and Arthur's trying to convince Dexter that, you know, there is no change, and Dexter is convinced, yeah, I can change, and just watch, I'm going to, after you. I'm going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, watching their conversation again after, you know, the second time, you know, after seeing the ending,
yes.
You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah, because
so much from that.
I know. Just some of the facial reactions that Arthur had kind of preludes to a lot.
Especially, yeah, exactly. I mean, but what I really liked was when you know, Arthur was asked him to do the, you know, do the train and Dexter, you know, made the train go around and turned on his sister's favorite song.
I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't expect Dexter would do that, though, because that would be a comfort for Arthur.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect Dexter to want Arthur to be comfortable.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe Dexter did that because he did have some respect towards Arthur, you know, because Arthur did teach him certain things.
Well, I just thought it would be better if, you know, he has that there, but then when Arthur asks him to do it, he says no. You don't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, and, you know, I of course he had to kill him with the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we all saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the big twist, you know, Stuart.
Yeah, this is what I really want to talk about. Now, Dexter comes home, he's all happy, waiting to go on honeymoon. Gets an interesting message from his wife saying that she forgot something. Calls her back, he hears the phone ringing. So, then he hears Harrison cry.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh no. Walk in there, Harrison's sitting in a pool of blood. Rita's in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Full of water and blood. Oh my god.
Yeah, really. That's an I need an adult moment right there. I mean, well, just I never would have thought that. And like I said, you know, when you go back to their conversation before Dexter kills Arthur, you know, you can kind of see, you know, how Arthur was kind of, you know, he was acting like he, you know, I know this, and you're, you know, I win, you know. You may kill me, but I still win.
Yeah, because when Dexter mentions, you know, like, I've got my family, Arthur smiles. And just kind of like, yeah, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I never saw that coming. It was just, and you know, they kept saying, you know, well, I throughout the whole series, you know, that, you know, the big twist, you know, big twist that no, you'll never see coming. You know, they kept saying it over and over again. I was like,
guess
yeah, that's not going to be
you
big.
Didn't.
Yeah, definitely. I never expect anything that big. But I thought the big twist was like Deborah finding out, you know? I thought that was it. But, which I guess we can lead on to what this is going to, what season 5 is going to be like. How's this going to affect season 5? I guess predictions.
Well, man, after I saw that, and you see I almost thought it was a little too cliche to have Harrison in the pool of blood, in the pool of blood sitting like that.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand it. I'm like, okay, well, I can see why he would put Harrison in the blood like that. But I was just like, okay, you're really kind of beating it over the head that, you know, okay, he could end up like Dexter. But Dexter was, what, 3 at the time?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He was a toddler. He wasn't an infant, you know, and there's not a chance this is going to affect Harrison like it did Dexter. I mean, I'm going to stand by that one. But it really kind of Rita was the rock in the whole, as far as Dexter, you know, person, husband, man, you know, the normal life of Dexter. She was the rock. She was the constant. And what this does is completely turn the world upside down. You know, I don't know. I would probably expect to see her mother come into this. I hope not, because she was just a pain in my ass for what, season 2? Yeah, nearly all of season 2. You know, she doesn't have any siblings.
There's the grandparents of the ex-husband, the ones that have the kids, you know.
Yeah.
At Disney World at that present time.
Right. It just seems like, well, how is he going to be able to do? How is he going to be able to handle all of this? You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
Deborah's not going to give up her job to help raise the kids.
And it's the fact of does he get rights? I mean, how does that work? Does he get the kids, or would they just go to one of the grandparents?
Wait,
I would think so.
No. I remember a scene where Dexter was going to adopt Aster and Cody.
Oh, really?
Did I dream that? Or
no, I think she was saying, I think it was something like, it was a custody battle because he was in, when Paul, wasn't it? It was Paul, right?
I think so, yeah.
Uh, when Paul was in prison and he was going to be fighting for custody or something like that. There was some, you know, there was some legal fight that was going to be going on, and he was saying, well, you know, I could, you know, I could adopt them if you want, or, you know, and kind of then, and then marry you, you know, kind of, you know, do a little sucker punch there. But, you know, I do remember him saying something like that, because he did care. It was, yeah, he did end up caring. He cares for, you know, Aster and Cody as if they were his own kids.
Well, no, I thought this did happen after they were married.
Well, they only did get married at the end of season 3.
Okay, and, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen the entire season. Like, I just watched episode, like, the ending episode today, and that was it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, that just, I got so many questions. I mean, especially since they've leaked some stuff, you know. Julie Benz is supposed to be on in the 5th season. How's that going to happen? I mean,
who?
How's that going to work? Rita.
Oh, she'll probably be... Ooh.
My guess, my prediction is she's going to be just like Harry, but, you know, the angel and the, you know, the good side, you know.
Right.
The good
I like that.
Yeah, I can agree. I can see that. I did hear that Julia Stiles is going to be...
The love interest.
Oh, she is going to be the love interest.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that because I'm a big fan of her acting. I really enjoyed the movie she's been in.
Aside from the dancing ones, yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen Save the Last Dance.
Save the Last Dance was pretty good, I thought.
I didn't think she got enough part in... oh, no, that was somebody else. I'm thinking of somebody else. In, she wasn't in Mission Impossible 3. That was somebody else, right?
I don't know.
I've locked out when that movie.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Bourne Identity.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of
Bourne. She was in the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was in one of my personal favorite movies, 10 Things I Hate About You. I don't care what anyone says, that's a good movie.
Yeah, you have to have someone
Ledger,
else talk for that.
Heath Ledger was awesome in that movie. He was funny as can be. But, yeah. So that seems interesting, especially since Julia Stiles is a bit younger.
Yeah.
Well, she's not that young. I'd say what? Yeah.
She's
30s? Early 30s?
29, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's going to be interesting. But yeah, I don't know. So many things. You know, September can't come soon enough.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I'm totally looking forward to Dexter. Do y'all have any predictions, I guess, for how they're going to open how the 5th season's going to be?
Go ahead, Stu, if you have any.
I don't know. Like, I have no clue.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how he's going to deal with raising 3 kids. Okay, maybe how, what's her name again? Stiles?
Oh, Julia Stiles, yeah.
Julia Stiles. Maybe how she comes in the picture is as a babysitter.
Or a nanny? Like something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Something to help raise the kids.
I could see that, and then Dexter starts to get with her. Yeah. They start to get a relationship, because I've read she is going to be a love interest. For 10 episodes, I think.
So most of the season.
Yeah. I mean, it is the consistent 12. It's been that way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't gone through and counted all of them. So.
Yeah. I think it's 12.
I could be wrong. It could be more. But I think at least 10 episodes have been announced that she's in. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the biggest question when I saw that. I'm like, well, you know, Harrison's an infant. This isn't going to pick up, you know, 4 years down the road. I mean, I'll bet that the first episode is, you know, Dexter's house is a crime scene, you know.
Yes.
And what did you see? You know, that whole thing, you know, him take, yeah, and I know they're going to do a lot of the flashbacks between, you know, Harry taking Dexter out of the, you know, the cargo freighter, and then Dexter taking Harrison out of the house, you know, both of them covered in blood and crying. Well, and, you know, that whole parallel that will go on. I know that he'll try to, you know, make sure that nothing happens like that. But, you know, how is this death going to affect Cody and Aster?
That's the thing.
Aster is going to shut down completely. I guarantee it. She is going to shut down.
Yeah, I agree with you, Stu, on that one.
I don't know. That'll be very interesting. And I didn't really think about that, but I don't know, but I'm definitely looking forward to season 5. And like I said, September can't come soon enough.
Yeah. Have any of you read the books? Have either of you read the books of Dexter?
I didn't know there were books.
Read the first one, I think. I think it's the first one.
The first one was Darkly Dreaming.
Yeah.
Dexter, yeah. I think it's in the second. Yeah, I think you find something out. Oof. I don't want to spoil. I don't want to spoil anything. So I guess we can save it for another time then.
Well, I mean, the books are they've gone completely different from the books in the TV series.
Yes.
Like in
yes.
the books, he lets Brian go free, right?
Right. He lets him go, and it got real confusing there. I mean, I've reread that a couple times, and it's just confusing. It's kind of like what's going on? It's hectic and chaotic and all that stuff. But I can't remember if he takes Cody fishing in the first book or if it was in the second book.
Huh. Okay.
But what you find out is Cody and okay. Do you remember the dog in the first episode in the first season?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
In the book, Cody is the one that kills the dog. Like they
really?
Don't give the dog away. Yeah. So you find out that Cody has a dark passenger from what he saw from his father when he would beat, Rita.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that is, and the books, they start to touch on it. I'm starting the third one and I hope they kind of get more into it. But, maybe they're going to kind of drift back to the books and kind of saying, well, is Aster going to shut down and become, is she going to lose it? I suspect her to shut down, and not communicate for probably close to half the season, then they try to get her help and everything. But, really the funny thing is Dexter's the only one that can help her. And, they kind of have a little bit of a relationship again. They were starting to get that. They were starting to have that trust. But, I don't even think 12 seasons or 12 episodes is going to be enough.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. They crammed this whole season in 12 episodes, and they did it pretty well, so I've got confidence they can do it again, maybe.
Yeah, they've got a good writing staff.
Yeah, I haven't been disappointed in any of the seasons.
Yeah, definitely.
Except for the whole tree trimmer thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, aside from that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess that's it,
September 26th, get here now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
September's a good month.
Oh, definitely for me. But I guess we can get to our, well, I can get through the whole spiel of the OFR network. We are Geeks for the Win, part of the Open Forum Radio Network, where you can find other shows such as Open Forum Radio, The 40cast, the Zabari's Section Z cast, the Sportscast, the OFR Sportscast, and Prove Your Point. That's it, right? I didn't miss one?
Yes. Okay. No, you got them all.
Okay. I never know if you're adding a new one or not.
No, not yet. Yeah, we're taking a break from adding one.
Alrighty, and with that, Matt, do you want to hear shout outs? And
sure. Well, shout outs to, my guys over at Open Forum Radio. Tin Pan, Vlad's Hammer. Man, you do a great job editing. I can't believe the turnaround that you just had on our most recent episode. Thank you very much for that. Blue, we appreciate, you do a great job hosting. Thank you. Vic, great job with the 40cast, and it's always a pleasure having you on. Let's see. I'd like to announce, I'd like to also announce that Open Forum Radio is, doing a drive, I guess you could say, along with, in conjunction with Miller High Life's, High Life Experience with veterans, welcoming back veterans of the conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. Every pull tab and bottle cap donated that is from a Miller High Life can, or bottle, goes to 10 cents to to the Miller High Life Experience charity for those veterans, in just helping them welcome back in appreciation. Miller High Life will donate, Miller will donate up to $1 million, to that charity. And what we're planning on doing is, we'd like to officially invite you, consider this the official invite, next weekend, Friday, July 23rd through Sunday, July 25th. If you're gaming at night, we ask that you drink Miller High Life and send in your pull tabs. I will have a flyer to send out, or I'll have a flyer Word document to send to you, guys, so you can post it on the site. We'll be doing the same over at openforumradio.com with all the information and what you can do. We'll host numerous different game nights, including Battlefield Bad Company 2, Red Dead Redemption, and by that time, probably NCAA Football 11. And also, we'll try to get something on the PS3. I know we'll find something. We'll take care of everyone, any gamer. Any gaming need, we'll try to meet them. But it's just, we just like to do it to say as a big thank you from Open Forum Radio, the Open Forum Radio Network community, to our veterans. So that's my shout out. What do you guys got?
So drink up.
Yes, drink up. And, oh yeah, and guys, thanks a lot for having me on. I really appreciate you guys waiting and not talking about it. You didn't have to do that, so I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. It was worth it.
Yes. It's out.
Okay, now September.
Stuart?
Shout out to you, Matt, and the rest of the OFR guys. You know, you guys do a great show. I love listening to it.
Thank you.
Dark DJ is writing for our site now. So shout outs to him. He's written an article or two.
Yeah, he's on, I think he's away from internet right now on vacation. So as soon as he gets back, he's probably going to be writing a bunch more.
Well, welcome aboard. That's great. Congratulations,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
And we have another writer too, but we will probably announce that next episode, the official.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Any other shout outs, Stuart?
No, that's it.
Okay. I just want to, you know, shout out to you, Matt, for coming on again. And,
thank you.
And, you know, we've had to change the time a little, so thank you for being patient with us for that.
Oh, no problem. Anytime. I appreciate the chance to talk, Dexter, so.
Yeah. And I also want to shout out Fadios from the Talking About Gamers. You know, he mentioned on the last podcast how, you know, basically how we're, you know, we're so considerate, you know, towards our guests and, you know, always asking what time's good for you. So I want to shout out him because we enjoyed having him on the last episode, the Red Dead Redemption episode.
Which was not the last one for that.
I did get the chance to listen, so thank you guys for putting that together. That was great. Great discussion. I appreciate everyone's involvement in that. So thank you.
Yeah, and we definitely had fun recording that.
Yes.
It sounded like it.
Despite Jay Bird being there. No.
Hey-o.
But,
Jay Bird, we love you. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and I just want to give, I want to give a shout out to Jay Bird as well. I mean, I was talking to him on Xbox Live the other day, and we were just talking about certain shows, and we started watching some of The Whitest Kids, you know, on Netflix. And
yes.
we were just hanging out, so you know, on Xbox Live, just having some fun, and I was surprised.
Yeah, I've been playing with Jaybird on Crackdown 2.
Yes, but
Jaybird and Vic Cho, which Jaybird on Vic Cho on Xbox, weird.
Yeah, really, I'm surprised about that, but he's been on Xbox a lot, playing, you know, not Crackdown, but Gears of War 2 as well, but But yeah, I get that. That's my shout out. And I guess with that said, this has been episode 14 of The Geeks for the Win. And I guess we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Later.